As for the course that we need to take, the first thing that we need to know and we need to deeply consider is that you have to understand Arabic in Arabic. You have to understand Arabic in Arabic. Translating is a downfall. Translating Arabic is a downfall. What we mean by translating, we mean by that is looking at the Arabic, then going to look up the words in English. This is going to set you back. It's going to keep you back. And you're not going to be able to understand the language if you continue to do that. But rather, when you're studying the Arabic language, for instance, when you're utilizing the dictionary that you should be utilizing is an Arabic dictionary with no English. Now, that may seem like, you know, you're going against what the goal is. But the goal is to learn Arabic, not English. So if you really want to learn Arabic, then you have to learn and understand Arabic in Arabic. And we'll give some examples for that later, inshallah, if we have the time. The second thing we need to know is that the traditional method of learning Arabic has already been tested. And there's no need for new ways to learning the lugha, the Arabic language. You can go on the internet and some people will say, a new method, $69.95, PayPal. You can use your bank card, you know, your Mac card or whatever. Buy it now. It's a new method. 25 CDs, 3 books, instructional guide, study guide, new ways to learn Arabic. Once again, I began learning Arabic in 1976. I can't even tell you how many books have been put out in the United States or in England combined on trying to learn the Arabic language. And every single person, including the person who you're listening to right now, is still learning Arabic because they didn't start out properly. Every single brother and sister I know from 1976 and before I became a Muslim in the 60s, they're still learning Arabic. Why? It's because they didn't learn Arabic from the proper sources and the methodology that the Salaf left for us. That is the Imams of the Salaf. And they always tried to use a new way. I remember in the 70s, the book that was most popular, there were two books that were most popular for people to learn Arabic. One is what we call Kapilawski. Kapilawski. For those brothers who started studying Arabic around my time, around my age, they remember it. There's 4 books, Kapilawski. I still have them in my house. They're written by Jews, and they're very good. They're very good. And in the beginning of the first book, they tell you the reason why they teach Arabic at that Arabic Institute there in Jerusalem. This is the book. It was published in 1928. And they said, and the last publishing, I think, was around 1940 or 45 or 52. And they said, we have developed this program to tap the Arab press. To tap the Arab press. So we find brothers starting with those books or the big orange books. This is what we call them in America. The orange books from Michigan Press. It used to be Michigan Press. The point is that there's no new way to learn Arabic. The way to learn Arabic has already been tested and tried. You don't have to worry about a new developed way. We already have the ways to learn Arabic. Also, we need to know that there's no one book that's going to teach you every single thing you need to know. You won't find one book, brothers. Forget it. It doesn't exist. The other thing that we need to know is that Arabic is difficult in the beginning. But as you go through your lessons and apply yourself, then Arabic becomes easy. Don't let the Arabs deceive you. When they tell you Arabic is difficult, it's not difficult. It's very easy. And you can become a master of the Arabic language in America. You don't have to leave. It's good to leave. It's better to be in the land of the Arabs, but you can master Arabic in America, in Philadelphia, without leaving the United States. It's very possible. And there are many people, too many to count, who mastered the Arabic language and understand it as well or better than the Arabs who weren't Arabs. Example, Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, was not an Arab. He was not an Arab. It's debatable if Imam Muslim was an Arab. Abu Dawood, Imam al-Tirmidhi. We can go on and on. There's a big, huge dictionary / lexicon. Huge book. I don't know how many volumes. Maybe 15 volumes, 20 volumes, called Lisan al-Arab. Very famous dictionary. Maybe 15 volumes. I can't remember. Lisan al-Arab is one of the best books you can get, dictionaries, on the Arabic language. Goes halfway across this long table, or maybe a little bit less than halfway across this table in length. It was written by a non-Arab. It was compiled by an African, al-Afriqi, Ibn Manzur al-Afriqi. He was African. His language is not Arabic. And all of the Arab scholars and non-scholars, they depend on Lisan al-Arab. And they quote Lisan al-Arab, but it was written by someone who wasn't Arab. You can go to Indonesia finding people mastering Arabic. Go to Nigeria. I don't know how many people I've met from Nigeria or Ghana that have mastered the Arabic language, and that's not their language. So don't be fooled into thinking, because you're American, that you can't learn the Arabic language. Also, you have to understand that you have to take everything of those three sciences that we mentioned, al-Nahu, al-Sarf, and al-Balagha. As for the books that are recommended by the ulama for this difficult in the beginning language to study and easy at the end, like Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he says, studying the Arabic language is like a house. The door of it is made from iron. He said, but the interior of the house is sugarcane. He said, it's difficult to get into the house in the beginning. But once you get into the house is made of sugarcane. It becomes real easy. The scholars of Islam in our present day time, and the scholars who came before them, and the scholars who came before them, and the scholars who came before them, they say almost in total agreement from what I've seen that the book that is suggested to learn an Nahu from, Arabic grammar, the book that is suggested is the book called Al-Ajrumiyyah. Al-Ajrumiyyah. This is the book that they all recommend to study, to start from. Al-Ajrumiyyah by Ibn Ajrum. And they say that the explanation of that book, to begin with, is called Tuhfatu As-Saniyya. Tuhfa As-Saniyya, which is an explanation of Al-Ajrumiyyah. This doesn't mean that you can't start with the Medina books or any of the other books that are available. But the books that the scholars of Ahl Sunnah recommend is Al-Ajrumiyyah. That's the book they suggest, and this is the book that I suggest. Because we follow the way of the ulama, not saying you can't start with the Medina books, but the Medina books are not enough. They're not enough. In addition to that, these are some guidelines that need to be followed or that should be followed. That should be followed. And you can put them in any order because this is not in any special order, inshallah ta'ala. You should try to listen to the Quran and try to understand the Quran when you listen to it. This is key in learning the Arabic language. Try to listen to the Quran and try to understand what is being said when you listen to the Quran. Because the Quran is Arabic and it is the speech of Allah, uncreated. It is the speech of Allah and it is uncreated. So if you listen to the Quran, trying to understand what's being said, this will help tremendously. Because the Quran is the number one source for the Arabic language and those who are trying to study it. It's the number one source. And you'll find that even people who memorize the Quran that don't know an-nahu, and they don't know as-sarf, and they don't know balagha, people who when they begin, those same people, when they begin to start studying those sciences, they grasp it better and have a better understanding than the person who didn't memorize the Quran. Because all those words and those phrases that they're now going to, oh yeah, wow, yeah, that's this verse, and that's this, and that's that. And it starts to come together easier than the person who didn't memorize the Quran. Also, as we mentioned, we shouldn't be like the people who try to translate everything into their own language. Because this is going to take a lot of time, and it's better to understand the Arabic in Arabic. So for instance, if you have an Arabic dictionary, Arabic, Arabic, of course you're going to have to utilize an English dictionary, and the preferred one, of course, for us in America is Hans Weir. That's the preferred one. That's the one that's most popular. There are others, but that's the one that's most popular. The recommended, this is from me, this is not from the ulama, this is from me. The recommended dictionary to use, I suggest, from my hit and miss study of Arabic, my trial and error study of Arabic, I would suggest through the years that I've been doing it, the best dictionary to get, to carry with you, to study is called Ra'id al-Tullab. Ra'id al-Tullab. Ra'id al-Tullab. There's a bigger version called Ar-Ra'id by the same person. But the smaller version, that's about the size of this mushaf in height, and it's about this thick, but it's this size, the size of this mushaf. Ra'id al-Tullab. And you can get it here in America. You can buy it in America, inshallah. Don't ask me where, but I know it's here. Inshallah, we may be able to find it for those who want to study it. That book, Ra'id al-Tullab, is one of the best dictionaries for a beginner. You're going to have to, in the beginning, have Hans Weir with it. Because the book is Arabic, Arabic. But you should not depend on the English dictionary in translating the definition. Because the reason why we're saying studying Arabic, losing an Arabic, Arabic dictionary, is because when you go to the Arabic English dictionary, it'll just give you the definition, but it won't give you the meaning. There's a difference between the definition of the word and the meaning of the word. The Arabic, Arabic dictionary will teach you the meaning of the word with the definition. The Arabic English dictionary will only give you the definition. It won't give you the meaning. It will not give you the meaning. I'll give you an example, and we gave this example in some classes in the masjid. For those of you who probably remember, and I'm sure maybe some of you sitting here will remember, that mat that you put on the floor that you're about to eat your food with, the Arabs now call it sufra. They call it sufra. But the original word for that mat that you put on the floor in America, the American Muslims call it ma'ida. We call it ma'ida. We mispronounce it. But it's called ma'ida, like Surah Ma'ida. That mat that you put on the floor is called khiwan or khuwan. It's called Khiwan or Khuwan. More properly, Khuwan. That mat that you put on the floor is called Khuwan. That mat, that same Khuwan, when you put on the floor and you put food on it, is now called Ma'ida. If you take the food off, no food, it's called Khuwan. The same mat. And this is the way of the Arabic language. The subtleties of the language is like this. If you go to the dictionary that's Arabic English and you look up Khuwan, for instance, it's going to say tablecloth or the mat which you put the food on. If you look up the word Ma'ida, it may tell you the same thing. So you'll think that it's synonyms, that those two words are synonyms, but they're not synonyms. They're not. Like the word Delu, Del, Lam, Wow, Delu. Delu is a bucket, but so is Dhanub. A Dhanub is a bucket also. But how do you know the difference between Dhanub and Delu? If you go to the English, Arabic English dictionary, it won't tell you. It'll just say bucket or container with water. But if you go to the Arabic dictionary, it's going to be very definitive in the meaning. In the meaning. This is why we say you have to study Arabic in Arabic. When you use a dictionary, use it Arabic and Arabic to Arabic, using the hands where initially, but you have to try to divorce yourself from the English, the Arabic English dictionary, and depend only on the Arabic dictionary. In addition to this, in studying Arabic, you should, when you read a word, you should underline that word in the dictionary, make a note of it, so that you'll be able to use it in the context that it was used in the example in the dictionary. Even if you have to use an index card or a place card, write that word down and try to utilize it as much as possible. Building vocabulary is essential in Arabic, but it's not the end. Just knowing a whole lot of words won't work, because words in Arabic change their meanings. They change their meanings in with regards to the context. With regards to the context. Another dictionary that could be employed or could be used is called Mu'jam al-Wasit. Mu'jam al-Wasit. Mu'jam al-Wasit. This is a very good dictionary. But the problem with that dictionary is that it's big. It's bulky. So this is the one you're going to leave at home. And Ra'id al-Tulab is the one you're going to carry with you in your car or in your bookcase. But Mu'jam al-Wasit is a very good dictionary. Arabic to Arabic. Also, you have to read as much as you can in Arabic. Read the Quran, read the hadiths, read children's stories. Reading children's stories, stories of the prophets, for instance, stories of the companions that are geared for children. Try to read them as much as possible. And any new word you come across, once again, you go back to the Arabic dictionary. You underline it, highlight it, circle it, or whatever, and you go back to the Arabic dictionary to see the meaning, inshallah. But you have to read as much as you can. Read as much as you can. Also, you have to develop your ear. You have to develop your ear. So, listen, if you can, to Arabic stations on the radio. If you have a shortwave radio, then listen to Arabic stations. Especially the news. And try to be around the Arabs as much as possible. To listen to the language. Even if it's the slang language. Still, they're going to be using words, many of the words, even in their slang. They're going to be using many of the words that are going to be found in the Quran or found in the hadiths of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam or in general Arabic. Please forgive me if you're Moroccan. We're excluding the Moroccans. We're excluding the Moroccans. Because with the Moroccan dialect, there are a lot of things that are not Arabic. It's very difficult. So if you find a Moroccan brother who will speak Fusha with you, this is better. Walillahi alhamd, because many of the people who have excelled in the Arabic language come from Morocco. But the dialect of the Moroccans is one you should try not to get involved in. As for the other Arabs, okay. But please forgive me, Moroccan brothers or sisters that are listening. Please forgive me. This is not to talk bad about you or your culture or your language. But this is a fact and it's a reality. And I'm sure you'll agree. Because in the Arabic of the Moroccans, they have Berber, they have French, they have all these different things inside of it. Also, and we're going to end it here, inshallah, because we have some obligations at the masjid. We also should know that sticking with those people who are students of knowledge, those people who are students of knowledge, who understand the Arabic language, sticking with them and asking them and trying to get them to assist you is very important, inshallah, in studying the Arabic language. And lastly, inshallah, and we won't be able to have time for any questions, please forgive me. Lastly, remember what we said firstly, is that the goal is to understand the Book of Allah. That is the goal. The goal is to understand the Book of Allah, to understand that which Allah intended for us to understand in the Quran, and to understand the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that we can get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so that we can be those who worship Allah in a state of taqwa. Because having knowledge of the Arabic language, once again, is a vehicle that gets you to the goal, which is to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what we wanted to present, inshallah, this evening. Hadha wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala abina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahabihi wa sallam.